think inside the box, you can think outside the box. You can think inside the book, you can think outside the book. You can think inside your head, you can think outside your head. Oh, the things you can think. With apologies to Dr. Seuss, who was the master of encouraging us to think and use our imaginations. He imagined a new way for children to learn to read, and they loved it. Ah, there are so many things a thinker can think. So Dr. Seuss would surely not be surprised by our efforts to encourage children to become thinkers extraordinaire. And one way to accomplish this is to help them learn to think about their thinking. When we think inside our heads about our thinking, it's metacognition. When we think outside our heads about our thinking, it's thinking aloud. Thinking aloud is one of a teacher's greatest strategies for sharing the secrets of success, for shaping literate minds. Good teachers have always shared their thinking in ways that lead children to understand not only what they're thinking about, but how they're thinking about it. To think aloud is a powerful tool for developing the literacy to learn. It's a way to model for children how to think and learn about the language of books, both written and visual language, and how these languages interact, a way to guide them via cognitive apprenticeship. In this module, we've got three ideas to think about. First, the value of using story to teach content, information, concepts, and vocabulary. Second, the need to teach text structure beyond story or narrative. And third, new ways that we as teachers can share what we've learned as expert readers of fiction and nonfiction. First off, when we think through text together, we first need to think of what type of text we're thinking about, because different types of text challenge us to think in different ways. The two major types of text are fiction and nonfiction. How many of you enjoy curling up with a good nonfiction book? There are many of us who do, though the typical good book with which to curl up is usually fiction. Fiction is usually written in a story style, a narrative, while nonfiction can be written as a story or in an informational style called expository. With story or narrative text, we read to find out the ending and enjoy the journey. With expository text, we typically read to find answers to questions. Science and social studies text, unlike the familiar content and predictable story grammar of children's literature, contain unfamiliar content and text structures, heavy conceptual demands, and unique vocabulary. Many nonfiction trade books these days are written in a hybrid style, combining story and informational styles. This hybrid seems to suit the taste of many readers. Anthropologist Mary Catherine Bateson shared this valuable insight. We humans think in metaphors and learn through stories. And in fact, there seems to be a natural call of stories, as child psychiatrist and writer Robert Coles describes it. We can make the most of this call of stories to help young readers learn to enjoy and value reading. And what's more, we can use the call of stories to help our students learn to access information that they need to think critically and problem solve. Carl Ann Sherping, the teacher at Saluda School, who's doing the documentary work with her fourth graders, shared a great example of the call of stories in Module 4. Children who may not get excited about a study of fish in the environment may find compelling the true story of a class who worked together to bring the salmon back to a nearby stream. Come Back Salmon, How a Group of Dedicated Kids Adopted Pigeon Creek and Brought It Back to Life by Molly Cohn with photographs by Sydney Wheelwright is a great example of a nonfiction book written in a narrative style with lots of information shared through the story. Think and wonder, wonder and think. The world is so full of good things to think. Especially a time when many children don't have a strong connection to the natural world or curiosity for how things work, using storytelling to entice them can catch them up in a new appreciation for the world around us. Or biographies that can seem dry and lifeless when written in an informational style can come to life when the life story is told in an interesting way. Look for nonfiction trade books that are written in an informal, engaging way that can lead your young readers to make connections and respond with wonder and curiosity. A big benefit will be that you can match the independent reading levels with a variety of books on the same topic for all of your students, and that kind of reading has been associated with gains in reading achievement. In our first mini-documentary, you'll learn about a special literacy assessment for grades 3 through 5 that the Wake County Public School System has developed to ensure that all students learn how to read all kinds of text, nonfiction as well as fiction. Called the 3-5 Literacy Assessment, the focus is on helping young readers learn to think more about nonfiction text, to think about the text structure of informational or expository text, and how to use that knowledge to make meaning. Specific text structures include description, collection, compare, contrast, problem solution, and causation. And the text features, which tip off the reader as to how the author's organized a text. Text features include written language, headings, subheadings, as well as visual language, illustrations, diagrams, maps, and others. This assessment reflects the best approach to teaching and learning, where assessment is intricately tied to instruction. In fact, it's nearly impossible to see where one process stops and the other begins. Teachers model how they use think-alouds in large and small groups to help students master the language, concepts, and vocabulary of special content topics. In this module, you'll learn that thinking aloud isn't the only way to model how to think through text. In this module, you'll learn about a powerful new way to model for your students, thinking online. You can wonder how long is the tail of a zog. You can wonder what in the world is a blog. Sounds like more Dr. Seuss. Shirley Peon is a teacher who thinks and wonders. She thought about the new technology blogging that she was learning to use in her grad class and wondered if her third graders could benefit from it. A blog is an online journal. Blogging has encouraged millions to tell their stories or create discourse communities on the web. In this case, Shirley is exploring the use of her blog to lead her students to think through text as she poses questions and models for them. Writing online gives her a marvelous new tool for thinking aloud in a way that is preserved. Her students can read and reread to note and internalize language structure, concepts, and vocabulary that are important to think through text together. With this type of cognitive apprenticeship, it's not so much that the teacher provides a model to imitate. Rather, according to educational theorist Jerome Bruner, the teacher can become a part of the student's internal dialogue, like becoming a speaker of a language one shares with somebody. In this case, a language that Shirley's class is learning together. The added beauty of the blog is that children are writing for an audience of their peers, as well as their teacher, and learning with each other. Oh, the things you can think, the books you can read, the blogs you can write, the learning that takes place if only you try.